Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Now back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted this year's Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. 800-531-3815. Toll-free coast to coast. And my website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. I think you'll like it. And this week's article, the feature article, is about looking for answers in the wrong places. I think you'll enjoy it. So check it out when you get a chance. If you subscribe this week, you still have time all this week to get that article. Russell Brown is our guest. Russell is a longtime original member of our Brain Trust and almost an original member of the show. He's the author of Preparing Your Business for Sale and Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business. By now, you probably figured out that he's an expert in buying and selling businesses. And if you did, you would be correct. And he's our good friend, Russell. Welcome back to the show.
Morning, Jim. I'm glad to be back.
Good morning to you. It's good to have you back. As always, you know, we're coming up on, you know, a couple of weeks, I'll have my sixth anniversary.
Sixth anniversary.
How about that?
Time is flying, isn't it?
It flies when you're having a good time. And, you know, in February will be our sixth anniversary. What are you going to give me? What are you going to give me for our anniversary, Russ?
I know
you're a romantic, you're a romantic kind of guy.
Yeah, I'll send you some roses.
I'll expect something really nice from you, by the way.
Sure.
Hey, Russ, we're talking about folks. We're continuing a series with our good friend Russell on the laws of the business buying and selling jungle. These are laws that Russell has written about. They're in his books, and that's what we're talking about. Some of the things to pay attention to when you're buying a business, when you're selling a business, when you're thinking about buying or selling a business, you are either confronted with some of the situations that we're talking about, or you're creating them. You are the person. You're the perpetrator, perhaps. And so we're talking about that. And Russell, I think we're down to law number 7, aren't we?
Yes. We've been talking through these laws of this jungle that I use as metaphors to provide information on the buying, selling, and valuing of businesses in my books and software. And law number 7 states, if a seller really wants to sell, you probably shouldn't buy.
But wait a minute. We can't make them sell if they don't want to sell. don't they have to want to sell?
Well, here's the point of that strategic law is, you know, there are good reasons for selling a business, and there are some not so good reasons for selling a business. And what you want to do as a buyer, you want to examine and find out why the seller is selling. I mean, it's a legitimate question.
Maybe what you should say
is so good. Go ahead.
What you should say is, if a seller really wants to sell, you probably shouldn't buy. And you certainly shouldn't pay their price, right?
Well, we talked about pricing another time, and we've found in the industry that generally, if you let the seller set a price, it usually is about double what the actual price of the business will sell for or ought to be.
Minimum of double.
Yes.
Sellers like round numbers too, don't they?
I sure do.
$1 million, $2 million, $5 million, $8 million.
Yeah. Well, they're nice numbers and easy to work with.
Yeah.
And lots of zeros help.
Roll off the tongue. That's right.
Right.
But how do we tell the difference between somebody who has a business for sale and who wants to sell, and the people that you're talking about, the ones who really have to sell it or want to sell it, and how do we differentiate?
Well, again, you have to ask. And it's a legitimate question. Why are you offering your business for sale? And, you know, if either you'd ask that of the owner, or if there's a business broker involved, you get that question answered through the broker. And some of the good reasons for selling are if the principal person in the business, either the owner operator or the key partner or someone like that, if they've passed away, if they've died. That's a pretty good reason for selling a business, because the prime motivator of the company is gone, no longer there to carry things on. Mm-hmm. And so that's probably one of the best reasons for selling the business. Now, it doesn't mean that it's a good business. It could still be a lousy business.
Mm-hmm.
So you still have to do your due diligence as you normally would. But that's certainly a legitimately sound reason.
Right.
Another one is the legitimate retirement of the principal in the business, an owner-operator, someone who's close to the business, running the business, and they're really going to retire. When I say really going to retire, you know, I've seen people who want to sell their business and they're 40,
uh-huh.
45 years old or something, and you know, it kind of presses the bounds of belief on
retirement. Hold on to that thought, Russell. We're going to come back. We got more examples of what to look for when somebody really wants to sell their business. And how do you deal with that? We're going to do that right after these messages. It's 20 after. I'm sorry, 20 till. I'm on the wrong side of the clock. 20 till the hour. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, we're going to be visiting with our good friend Jim Donovan. And Jim Donovan is the author of This Is Your Life, Not a Dress Rehearsal. And he's going to be talking to us about how to gain and maintain some balance in your life, which he does very well. And then after that, we've got Joe Condrell, who's going to be with us. Joe's one of our top entrepreneurial minds in our brain trust, and she's just returned from China. And we're going to get her to tell us about what she found over there, and that's one of the things that we'll be talking about. I'm looking forward to her travelogue on what kind of an entrepreneurial situation they've got over there in China. I'm looking forward to that. That's coming up in the next hour. Russell Brown is our guest. And Russell, folks, I've told you that Russell is our business buying and selling expert in our brain trust. But Russell has an outstanding resource that I'd really encourage you to check out, because this is one of the handiest things. Any business owner ought to have this, because even if you're not ready to buy a business or sell a business, even if you're not ready to sell your business, but you know, for really not a whole lot of money, you can do a pretty good little evaluation. Or if you're thinking about buying a business, you're going to want this little tool to help you evaluate that business. And it could really, even if you hire somebody ultimately to do a more advanced valuation, this little tool will make you a lot more intelligent consumer of that information when you get the other information. Russell, I want you to tell us how to get your biz buyer project.
Biz Pricer, it's the Business Pricer business valuation software. You can get it two ways. You can have it sent to you with a paper manual and on CD-ROM, or you and that's $99.95, or you can have it downloaded directly to your computer from my website for $79.95, and you get everything, including the manual, in Microsoft Word format and the program in Microsoft Excel. And it comes right to you, and you can use it in the privacy of your own home and office. You can use it over and over again. And it gives you an excellent estimate of the fair market value of your business or the one you're considering buying.
Now, when they download that, they can then burn it. If they have a burner, they can burn their own backup CD off of that, can't they?
Yes, they can.
Yeah, see, that's
absolutely.
See, that, for 75 cents for an extra CD, mm-hmm. you save $20 if you download it, and you can get it right away. And also, the manual is downloaded too, right?
Yes, it is. Yep. You get everything in the download that you get in the hard copy sent to you.
Okay. And that's it. And that's at businessbookpress.com?
Businessbookpress.com.
All right. And you can also check out his books there, folks, and lots of other information on valuing a business, how to buy a business, how to sell a business. And, you know, folks, regardless of which side of the desk you're on at the moment, the things that Russell and I talk about are valuable to you because you're learning how, you know, so many of the things that Russell talks to us about is not just about buying and selling a business. It's about operating a business. It's about running a business and the way you think about your business. And Russell, we're talking about you mentioned a minute ago about people who say they're retiring, but they're 45 years old. I actually had somebody do that once. They offered a business to me, and I knew that it was, he wanted to sell it, and I said, why do you want to sell it? He said, well, I just want to go do something else. He's 45 years old, and now that didn't mean, as you said, that didn't mean that it wasn't something to look into, but that that was a little bit of a blink level, wasn't it? 45 years old,
sure.
Wants to, you know, he wants to get out of the business. Something
right.
might be wrong with that, and so you want to find out what that was. What
exactly.
That
you know, there's very few things in life that are absolute, and of course these laws that we're talking about and rules are not absolute. There are always exceptions to the rules, but it's best to follow the rule. And the rule would be if someone is not of typical retirement age, you know, 60 plus, you might want to look a lot closer at the reason that they're selling the business. You want to look, do an extra careful due diligence, examine that the overall operation of the business, not only its history, but its future and future competition, things like that that could come on the horizon that the seller may know about that you, as the buyer, may not be aware of.
What would you look for? What would you look for, Russell? Maybe outside influences, like maybe he knows that there's a new highway coming through that you don't know about, and you know there's going to be a new highway in 5 years going right through his building, and the whole business is going to have to be, you know, displaced. Maybe there's a significant technology shift that's going to appear in a couple of years. That's going to make what he or she does invalid, in a complete paradigm shift or something like that. Wouldn't you want to look at external influences heavily at that point?
Well, absolutely, and I think you've covered the major ones right there. You know, the increased competition through any of those venues are things to really worry about. You know, in the area of the country where I'm at right now, I live in a relatively small town, and we have a very large retail business going to come into town. It's going to be by far the biggest we have in the town. And so if you're looking at buying a small retail business on Main Street, you might want to know that this big box company is coming into town and consider how that might impact the future sales and income of the small business that you're looking at
Main Street. And it won't, to me, in my opinion, you know, competitors have been with us always, they're going to be with us always. In my opinion, you know, that should only affect probably the price you pay, not whether you do it or not. But what I'm more concerned about are, you've got some influence over those competitors, Russell. What I'm more concerned about is things you have no influence over, like you can't make the state move the road, or you can't stop the emergence of new technologies. Those are the things that are the killers, more than the competitors, to me.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right, Jim.
Stand by. 10 till. We're going to be right back with our good friend Russell Brown. Don't forget his website is businessbookpress.com. Check it out.
Come down off your throne and leave your body low.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend, Russell Brown. Russell is the author of Preparing Your Business for Sale and Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business, two different books. I recommend both of them to you, as I have been now for a long time. And also, don't forget Russell's BizPricer software, which is available at his website. Russell, give us that website, please.
Businessbookpress.com.
Whatever Russell does, folks, is top shelf. And so whatever he does, you can depend on it, and he always gives you good value. So make sure you check that out when you get a chance. And as I said, even if you're not thinking about buying or selling a business right now, I think your BizPricer could just educate them on some of the components of buying a business. Russell, just looking at the manual would do that. And so check that out when you get a chance. We're talking about if sellers really want to sell, you probably shouldn't buy. Russell, what are some other ways that we can tell if we should buy the business if the seller's a little anxious?
Well, we've talked about some of the good reasons, and I want to get one more in there before our time is up here. We talked about the death of the principal, legitimate retirement situation,
mm-hmm.
and another one is serious health problems with the owner of mm-hmm. the business. Sometimes there's health issues that don't completely incapacitate the business owner, but are serious enough to affect the way the business is operated, and the owner just is forced to consider selling the business.
Well, the other thing is that you know, it could just be that they, you know, they've had a little bit of a jolt in their life with this illness, and you know, they say, you know what, I the prognosis is pretty good, but you know what, whatever lifetime I have left, I'm gonna, you know, I wanna enjoy it, and so that makes a lot of sense. You know, another thing, Russell, another one I was thinking about earlier would be like a relocation. I mean, if somebody says, you know what, I don't want to live in Minneapolis anymore, I want to move to Florida, or I don't want to live in Florida anymore, I want to go where we have four seasons, I'm moving to Cleveland or something, you know, who knows? I mean, people do relocate.
Right, absolutely, and those are that's another very good reason, and, you know, I, in my past years, have brokered businesses for sale for those very reasons, for relocation reasons, for a lot of them for health reasons, but mostly for legitimate retirement reasons.
But you're saying, Russell, that it's okay to say, why are you selling the business?
Absolutely. Not okay. It's an absolute requirement as a buyer to ask that question. Mm-hmm. And you as a seller, you have to be prepared for that question, to have a legitimate, honest answer for the buyer. And the buyer is going to be making putting a lot of faith in your business when they buy it. And they really do have an obligation. You have an obligation to tell them as a seller, and the buyer has has a right to know why the business is being sold.
If we're still not happy with the answer, we think we want the business, but we're still not completely happy with the answer for why they're selling, we're worried a little bit about it. Would you be able to ferret out any kind of ulterior motive by asking them to give you a workout on the purchase price? In other words, stretch it out over 5 years or so and see how excited they are about that?
Yes, I highly recommend that that buyers have the seller hold at least some of the financing. Mm-hmm. And in reality, in 80% of the business sales, small business sales in this country, the seller does hold some portion, and usually a significant portion, of the financing of the sale of that business. So they do have a lot of incentive to give you the right information and to make sure that they don't have problems later. I mean, if they're selling for a legitimate reason, they don't want to take that business back.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want you to fail. They want you to succeed, especially if their payments over that period of time are tied to your success.
Right.
So exactly. That's probably one of the best things that you can do. And that's one of the reasons that at least 80% of these small business sales do involve owner financing, or seller financing, I should say, because the buyer wants that there. They want that. That's sort of a little insurance policy in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
As well, if the seller believes enough in this business that he's willing to hold the financing on it, then he must be telling the truth, because obviously if he's not, I could hold up payments on the
right.
On the note. And
well,
or
maybe, you know, if worse comes to worse, you might want having a default. Russell, thank you very much for joining us. Good job today, and we'll see you next time.
Okay, Jim. Thank
Russell
you very
Brown,
much.
Russell Brown, ladies and gentlemen, businessbookpress.com. Check out his website. A lot of free stuff there, too, when you get there. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.